A tune-hating detective is an idiotic rabbit's only hope to prove his innocence when he is accused of murder.
Hi, I'm Andre.
I'm Michelle.
I'm Emily.
And I'm Luis.
And we are The Walt Vault, a family-friendly podcast where we get silly and talk about Disney movies. Welcome to The Walt Vault, episode 16.
Hey.
Why did you pause like that?
Because it looked like you were about to say something.
I was just gazing lovingly at you, okay. You know, starting off the podcast.
Well, thank you, dear.
Murder.
Murder. We're going to talk about murder in the 1989 hybrid animated / live action film, Who Framed Roger Rabbit?
Who framed Roger Rabbit? Oh. Who done it? Who done it?
I don't know if you guys can tell. I'm slightly sick. I have a tiny little.
He got a froggy because he's hosting a bunch of comedy shows this weekend.
Also, I was sick, so that too. That helped too.
I was just trying to make it sound better, but you know.
Thank you.
Because sickness is not a good reason to have a froggy throat.
No,
not good. Enough.
Gotta be a comedian.
Not good enough.
Like Roger. Roger's a comedian. Roger was kind of inspiring me.
His whole goal in life was to make people laugh.
I just want to make people laugh. That was some good.
Oh,
Roger.
He kind of is a comedian. There you go.
Yeah, he's
just like Andre.
He wears a bow tie. He's totally a comedian.
Do you ever wear a bow tie?
I've worn bow never on stage.
When he was here, he did.
But not when he was a comedian.
No.
You should do a set as Fear.
Oh my God.
No, I think that'd be hilarious.
Guys, I'm so scared. Or as Roger Rabbit.
That's like a whole new set you got to create pretty much.
Yeah, I'd have to write a whole.
Andre's like, that's way too much work.
If you're going to dress up as him, you kind of have to have the entire set be fearful jokes.
Yeah, I got to be scared of everything.
Yeah.
Which would be funny. Hard. I'm kind of scared of stuff.
We can start with your first impression since you already kind of said.
Well,
Roger
I was going to say.
Inspiring you.
Yes.
Is that your first impression?
Yes. First impression. Very good. Very good movie. Jolly good. I've seen this movie a fair amount of times in my life. I don't know how many, but I've always liked it. I like the animation interacting with the real world. That's
it's hilarious.
Very, very cool and very, very funny to me.
It is very cool.
And I watched a documentary about this movie, and they did a lot of work to make that happen. So I was very impressed with Who Framed Roger Rabbit.
Well, good. Yes. You know, you picked it for your birthday month.
I did.
So you go. I would hope you'd be impressed with it.
What are your first impressions?
This is the second time I have seen this movie. I watched it probably in high school because I remember we were going to Disneyland and I had ridden the ride the Roger Rabbit's cartoon spin, but never knew the movie it was based on. So I just watched it. Kind of like how Splash Mountain is Song of the South. I've yet to see that movie. So
I feel like most of us haven't, even though shout out to Brittany Volk. I'm pretty sure that's one of her favorite movies.
Oh, yeah. Really?
One of our listeners really likes that movie. So I watched the movie so that I could understand the ride more and the concept of it. Like the line of that ride is very intricate. Mm-hmm. The ride itself is very intricate and fun. Kind of always has like a 45 minute to an hour wait. So I figured, okay, this is a movie I got to watch. And I do enjoy the movie. The only disconnect for me is that I didn't grow up on those.
On Looney
kind
Tunes.
Kind of on Looney Tunes are just very silly, overdramatic, smack somebody on the top of the head with a hammer cartoons.
No Tom and Jerry for
no.
you.
No. So I don't enjoy that as much. But if I can like look past that, like this movie is great and I thoroughly enjoy it. Yeah. What are your first impressions, Emily?
I would agree with you on that point. I was not like a slapstick type of comedy person growing up, mm-hmm. but I saw this movie as an adult. And the first time it took a little getting used to, even though I thought it was hilarious. The second, third, fourth time now looking back, it is so great. It's a fantastic merge between the two, animation and live action. But I also really like the fact that it was put out under Touchstone, which is owned by Disney, because you get so much more going on in this movie than they could have ever done Disney alone.
Oh, for sure.
Or Warner Brothers alone or anything like
and
that.
For those of us listeners who are listening saying Roger Rabbit's not a Disney movie. There's a ride in Disneyland. There's a whole land in Disneyland. And we did do Nightmare Before Christmas was Touchstone. And you said you think that...
No, I lied. I don't think Hocus Pocus is now that I said
Nightmare
that.
But Nightmare Before Christmas was.
Yes.
Yes.
We totally consider that Disney and now. So Roger Rabbit, you Disney to me.
There are Disney characters running around in this movie.
Yeah, like so. When Dumbo showed up, I was like, yes. Oh, Dumbo. That whole Truth. Intro scene where they're just walking through the backstage and looking at all the characters. I was like so excited, like naming all of them.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
That's the hippo from Fantasia. That's the ostrich from Fantasia. Mm-hmm. That's Dumbo. There's Snow White. It was great. I loved that.
Yeah, walking around the back lot. Mm-hmm.
Luis, what's your first impression?
Luis, is your mic on, Luis?
Yes, it's on. Okay, so my thing with that is that I wasn't looking forward to seeing the movie mm-hmm. just because when Ems watched it earlier that week, I watched it twice. The back end of the movie, and that's the type of movie that you need to watch from the first second to the last second.
Oh, definitely.
Yeah. And when I saw the back end of the movie, I was like, oh, man, I don't want to watch this movie.
He walked in when Doom was already, like, spoiler alert, a tune, and he was, like, jumping on his little, springy shoes.
We'll talk about that later. You know, I'm real confused.
He was, like, jumping and springing through the warehouse, and Luis was like, what in the world? And he's like, I remember this movie, but what happened here?
Not the best part to walk in.
No, you can't just walk in because then you're like, why is that dude Doc jumping up and down chasing after some rabbit thing?
When you actually watched it, the full run through, though, did you like it better?
Yeah, I was going to get to that.
Oh, okay.
You need to watch the movie from the very beginning to really appreciate it.
That's how most movies work, I think. Yeah.
What, you can't watch them backwards?
Or just start from the middle?
Well, that's not true. I like to just watch the ending scene of Titanic.
I only watched the first half of Fantasia and then I stopped. So, I mean,
all right, I guess whatever works, guys. All movies. See? Wow. We're learning.
So we kind of touched on how it was released under Touchstone.
Look at you there. Yes. Making funnies.
It's very hard for me to speak today. Why? Because, I don't know. I'm just very like tongue twisted. So I have to really think about my syllables.
Slillables. But is it because you're drinking a mimosa?
That's true. It's Saturday. I'm celebrating.
Shlimoshash.
Andre and I both just got work promotions. Yeah. So we're kind of celebrating as we're recording this.
Booyah.
Win. Boom. Ding. Killing it. So this movie came out in what year again?
1989. 88. Oh, excuse me.
1988.
It came out before Luis.
Before Luis.
Pre-Luis.
This movie's
movie.
Older than us. Okay. Toontown is a land in Disneyland, but we believe, did we confirm this, that it was built after this movie?
I don't think we confirmed that. Did we confirm
I was
that?
Trying to confirm it, and honestly, everything that I came up with was pointing away from giving this movie credit for the land in Disneyland. Now, it is called Mickey's Toontown, and it is very nostalgic of the movie, especially on the right-hand side when you walk in where the Roger Rabbit ride is, where mm-hmm. it has like all of the exploding things and the factory and whatnot.
Even the background, like the green rolling hills in the background, when they first zoom in to Toontown, you see those green rolling hills.
Exactly.
So that was kind of the first thing I noticed that was reminiscent of the movie. But I don't necessarily associate them except for the ride, per se.
Okay, I have confirmation.
Confirmation.
The movie, Who Framed Roger Rabbit, came out June 22nd, 1988, and Mickey's Toontown at Disneyland opened June 18th, 1988.
So they opened at
Toontown
the same time.
Toontown opened like a couple of days before the movie came out.
Oh my God. That's fantastic. That's
so maybe they had kind of.
Did they use it as like a promoting technique?
Okay, wait.
Whoa, hold on. Are you giving us.
Corrections. No. Okay, so the thing is that Mickey's Toontown opened in Disney World in 1988.
That doesn't count.
It didn't open in Disneyland until 1993.
Oh.
Oh, okay. Yes. So about 5 years later.
Yes.
So probably then, and because we're not, you know, experts on Disney World.
We're not Disney World people.
So maybe they kind of used it as a,
promoting technique. I feel like that's pretty cool. That's pretty we're cool opening a new land and there's a movie associated.
You definitely used the movie to kind of like inspire
the land,
but it is Mickey's Toontown, not Toontown, the city in, next to LA, where apparently a bunch of toons live, which I'm still
is
kind
it
of,
not though?
I'm kind of dealing with that concept still in my mind, like the fact that toons and humans interact is a little bit strange to me. And why do the toons
you
not
go to Disneyland and you interact with people in a costume
that's
that
different.
We call characters
there's humans under there
which is weirder if you think about
it's
it
it's not weird okay some of them are even like real humans like Ariel you know
she's
like
not
a human.
She's a mermaid
but she's a human at Disneyland.
Did you just say she's not a real human?
She is a real human.
Everybody's
a human is
at
a human.
Disneyland. They're played by humans.
What? Exactly what Louis said.
I don't buy into this.
So
I'm really confused
my point
now.
Was, my point being that I just forgot. What was
you,
I talking about?
You had a hard time interacting seeing them interact.
So it was kind of weird to me, but I've also never really watched a movie that had a crossover besides Enchanted. But Enchanted kind of opened like it opened very cartoon and then it went to human.
Yeah,
it wasn't
right.
really too much of a crossover, but this movie is very like the whole movie is crossed over. And my problem was that toons basically can't die. They like shoot each other and everything like this and they can't die. How did the lawyer's brother die from a toon object? So toon objects can kill humans, but our human objects can't kill toons. That's not fair.
Well, no, it's not fair, but it's true.
So I can relate to Doom on that level, but
that's part of the.
You can relate to Doom on that level
until I found out he was a toon. Then it didn't make any sense. It's a little bit confusing.
I can relate to Doom. I can't believe this. No, but did he?
He's awful.
Like I get it. Was
did he get killed by a toon piano?
Yeah.
Yes. Oh. They dropped it on his head.
Well, they
which was hard because I was
they
trying
didn't
not to
specifically
laugh.
Say it was a toon piano, but you got to assume because they were in
Toontown.
Well,
they were in Toontown. So everything in Toontown is toon. You know.
E. Toony.
It's toony.
Loony.
Looney Toony.
Wait, Looney? Wait, Toony? Oh, wait. Never mind. Anyway, so the whole conceit of the movie, or not the whole conceit, but the conceit of the longevity of these toons is that they, I guess they're drawn into life, and then...
Yes.
Yeah, they were not birthed. They were drawn.
They were not birthed, they were drawn, and then they can... they can technically survive anything except for two things. They got the dip, which is all paint thinners. I read that.
Yes. Do you remember what they are? It's turpentine, benzine, and something else.
Acetone, I believe.
Acetone.
Yes.
And apparently those are the three things that animators use to wipe off cells when they're animating.
Yes.
So it's literally erasing them from animation.
I like that.
Isn't that great?
Which
oh my God.
I like
really
that a lot.
Cool. So they can die by dip or... by laughter. They can laugh themselves to death, apparently.
Is that all of the toons or just the weasels?
Do you think that's hyena and weasel like specific or
I
do you
don't
think
know.
I think that was weasel specific. Because Doom was even like, remember what happened to the hyenas? I think like just the way they were drawn is like the ones that laugh in general, like weasels and hyenas.
They can.
If they laugh too hard,
laugh
they die,
to death.
Which is very comical to me. I was dying. It was very, very funny.
You were dying laughing as well?
I was dying
She also.
Laughing.
An angel like, Michelle rose out of her body.
Yeah, it did.
Flew into the sky.
With my
and
little,
then flew
my
back
little
in.
Harp.
And it's funny when they die, unfortunately.
Yeah.
Speaking of toons dying, Luis, would you like to talk about the toon murder that we saw and how it was just like NBD?
You guys witnessed a toon murder?
Is this
murder?
The shoe?
Oh, yeah. What the heck was all that about? This guy's supposed to be a judge, but he's
judge
executioner and jury?
Oh, yeah.
He said he like bought his way through the politics of Toontown, basically.
Right. So
he had a lot of influence.
No. That no.
I was going to cry when he killed that
Luis
shoe.
Had a problem with that because we're sitting there watching and the police commissioner is literally sitting there watching him and he's like, bring me the dip. And then he dips this poor cute little shoe.
Because they have no jurisdiction over Toontown at all. It's like it's.
But they witnessed a murder.
Right. He killed that toon. But I guess.
So what? It's okay to for murder. A toon to kill. It's not okay for a toon to kill a human, but it's okay for a human
to
kill a toon.
I wonder if there's like different classifications of toons. Because like that toon was a shoe. Right, and it had a little bit of personality. It was wobbling around.
It was cute.
It was smiling
so
and whimpering.
Just because
whimpering.
He wasn't human, that sounds
Listen,
that sounds toonist.
I'm not He should be gone away for murder, but
equality for the two. But, equality for the two.
But I'm saying just in terms of them not prosecuting him right there and then, maybe because they all considered that shoe a lower class of two.
R.I.P.
And wait
shoe.
A minute, wow. What did that shoe do?
It didn't it's do anything. Real. It just
exactly.
got out.
He just fell out of his box.
Someone knocked over the box. He got out of the box unwillingly.
And he got murdered.
And got murdered. Dipped.
R.I.P.
And his brother's
shoe
is just alone somewhere.
You were the realist.
I didn't even think about the other shoe.
That was the one moment where I kind of wanted to cry, honestly. I was like, no, the shoe. Like, I get it's supposed to be comical, but it wasn't that comical.
No, it wasn't funny. It was sad.
But the part that I, the other murder that I did think was comical. Okay, I get.
The other funniest murder is.
I get that they were in Toontown and they were, someone was robbing a bank or something like that. And they dropped it on his brother's head. The lawyer. What are they? Valiant and Valiant?
They're yes. not lawyers. They're private detectives.
Okay. Well, one Valiant got murdered by a Toon.
No wonder I was confused.
Just
like,
the way
lawyers.
That they talk about it, where they're like, you didn't hear what happened to his brother? And he's like, no. Like when he's talking to Roger Rabbit about it, he's like, well, this something happened and then dropped it on my brother's head and he's dead. And Roger's like, no wonder you hate me. Like, I understand that that's kind of supposed to be like, oh, he got murdered that way, but it's kind of freaking funny.
I mean, yeah, getting a piano dropped in your head. It's not
really that funny, though.
Not a common occurrence.
Not a good way to die.
Musical way to die.
It's a musical.
Musical way to die.
So as your soul's departing your body, that's the sound that comes out from the piano in the background.
Elise, you usually have a lot to say about character development. How do you feel about Valiant's development from hating Toons to be like, all right, Toons are cool?
I didn't like when he kissed Roger Rabbit in the end. That was flat out.
He
dumb.
Got his sense of humor back, and he realized that kissing this little rabbit would be
that's
the funniest
thing
he could do.
About Toons. Why does kissing somebody in the lips supposed to be funny?
It is
that's
funny
disgusting.
In the Toon world.
That's disgusting unless it's your wife.
Disgusting unless it's your wife.
Or your significant other.
Is it just as disgusting as that baby?
What baby? Baby Herman?
Baby Herman?
Baby Herman was gross.
He was hilarious.
Baby Herman is a very funny
He was
baby.
More gross to me than the kissing.
I feel like we can't really talk about Baby Herman until our after show.
Yeah, you guys got to become patrons too, to hear us talk about
that
Baby
That is
Herman.
True, though.
But you know, it's funny because I feel like Eddie Valiant is Luis and Luis is Eddie Valiant because Luis is like, oh, these twins are so stupid. Yeah. And then, you know, Valiant's like, these twins are so stupid.
But
and as
Valiant
it went on.
Liked him at the end. So, Luis, did you like the Toons at the end? Or were you like, they could have got dipped?
No, I never really had a thing against the Toons.
Right.
So, no.
Yeah, but they didn't annoy you.
No, they didn't annoy me. Okay. They're Toons. What do you expect?
Let's do a Toon vote. Who was your favorite Toon, everybody? I got to think about this.
Favorite Toon.
There actually have quite a few favorite
There's
Toons.
A lot of Toons. Okay, so if we think about just that scene where they're backstage, I like the moment where who's the boss of the Toon? The one that
Marvin Acme?
No, the other one. He got murdered.
Maroon.
Too. Maroon. Okay, RK Maroon.
JK.
RK Maroon.
I don't know.
Right. Okay, so Maroon was very excited that he had rented some of the Fantasia and Disney people from Walt Disney. Yeah. And he just threw Dumbo peanuts. He's like, the best part is they work for peanuts.
They work for peanuts. Yeah, apparently cartoons are like lower class citizens.
There was a lot of cartoons in that scene. Like I saw Dumbo, Snow White. There was some Looney Tunes ones that I don't necessarily know their names. There was ones that were so short that you didn't actually see them, but you just saw like their little medieval things. What?
Yes, it was like their little.
Those guys are from either the Black Cauldron or Sleeping Beauty, I think.
Yeah.
Little honky tonk minion guys.
That's hilarious. And like that same scene, I loved how you heard like the Fantasia in the background. You heard the da na 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 na.
When the brooms,
they
were sweeping, and the guy playing the sax was playing.
He
that song.
He was playing the sax, but then there was also a real janitor next to him, like sweeping with them.
It was hilarious.
Oh, they were doing menial labor.
Yeah,
they were
a lot of menial labor.
I think who's my favorite Toon? Oh, okay, I know my favorite Toon. My favorite Toon is Benny.
Tell him
Benny
who Benny is.
Benny is the cab. What did he say he got put in the back seat for?
Driving on the sidewalk for 2 miles.
Driving on the sidewalk for 2 miles.
He's like, it was only 2 miles.
I love Benny. His character is hilarious. Just his personality, like everything that comes out of his mouth made me laugh.
I've been a cab for 36 years and I never seen nothing like this. Oh, like, oh, have you now?
So funny. And I like how when they get out of the car at Toontown, he's like, if you need me, just stick out your thumb. And I didn't think about it as like hitchhiking, but then Valiant at the end is, well, they're trying to escape, him and Jessica Rabbit. And he's like, wait, this way. And he just puts out his thumb and Benny comes.
Benny shows
I
up.
Wish I had like just a service like
it's
that.
It's like the night bus.
You know what's really funny? It is like the
you
night
do
bus.
You have a service. It's called Uber and you use your thumb to access it on your phone.
Yeah, boom. Whatever. It's not
stick
the same.
Out your thumb
it's not as comical
and
nice.
It's not
as
comical. But you know, was one of my other favorite Disney movies, which I know people are going to be like, Emily, shut your mouth. Halloween Town.
Uh-huh.
Right?
Oh, yeah.
I'm sorry. It's a good movie.
Oh, yeah. They had the cab driver.
The cab
skeleton.
Driver. And it wasn't his name, Benny?
Oh. Oh, my God.
I'm just saying. I'm just saying.
Well, Benny is my favorite tune.
He was my favorite character in that movie. That's what it makes me think of. Anyway.
Fun fact about Benny, he's voiced by Charles Fletcher, who is also the voice of Roger Rabbit.
Interesting.
You want to know an interesting fact about that gentleman?
Yes.
Apparently every time he was doing Roger's lines, he was like dressed in a full Roger Rabbit costume.
Oh,
he had
God.
The ears, he had the bow tie, he had the overalls.
He was getting into character, you know?
Yeah.
Yes. So he was
straight up.
Straight
so
up.
I watched the documentary about this movie, and so he was literally like just, they would rehearse the lines with him on the set, and then he would get off the set and just like shout his lines. You know, off camera, and you know, because okay, so the way that they filmed this movie is they filmed all the live action stuff first. They did they filmed the whole movie in live action, straight up. All the like the special effects people had to create machines to move everything around that all the animated characters are going to touch and stuff like that.
Oh my gosh, that's crazy.
It was a crazy amount
of work.
So
they literally made like two movies.
And then, yes, they literally made two movies because after they filmed all of that, then they went back in and animated in Roger and Benny and all the other
animated characters
on top of the live action stuff.
Well, good for them.
I have a lot of respect for that because that has got to be so difficult, not only for the actors, but for the animators both.
Yes.
Like to just have to imagine that I'm talking to Roger Rabbit right now, but he's not really in front of me. Just think about eye contact, like where you're supposed to look, things like that.
They had to do a lot of work with that. They had like these little like rubber puppets that they would use in like the first take so that the actors could line up their eyesight with it, and then they take that away, and he had to just remember where the eye line was.
Oh my gosh.
And follow it through.
Well, it's funny too because I really did pay attention to that while I was watching it this time because, like Luis gave away, I may or may not have watched this twice. But the first time, you know, I watched it for enjoyment. Mm-hmm. And then the second time, I knew we were going to do it for the show, and I thought, you know what? I'm really going to pay attention to how well that those two things line up.
Yes.
And there's very few moments where you're like, like maybe it was like a second off or something. It was so well done, especially for the time period where you can imagine it. They didn't have what we have now,
80s?
You know?
Yeah. There's no CG. This movie, by the way, there's none of this animation was done on computers at all. It was all hand drawn.
You gotta love that.
Which is kind of, it was a crazy
it's
amount
like
of work.
Technically a classic, but like a newer classic.
And it's revolutionary because most other hybrid animation and live action movies before this, what they would do is they would kind of have like a static background, right, that they would either draw on top of or whatever and have the animated characters back there. And then the live action people would be in the foreground.
Mm-hmm.
And it was very still and easy to do. Like I was looking at clips from Mary Poppins.
Yep.
And, you know, they're kind of just standing there dancing and the animated characters are in the background dancing.
And you can tell that it's almost like
that's happening.
Foreground and background together. And the only time they really do a lot of action is when it's one or the other. Like they'll go to a next scene and then the animated characters will be doing their thing and then they'll go back and forth.
Yeah. So this movie is super revolutionary because it has all of the animated characters interacting with live action things. And
the whole time, the whole movie.
And like, if you just sit and take a look, like having Roger take a drink of whiskey or whatever, shoot up through the wall, fall down, bounce on the desk, have all the things on the desk move, and then have him jump out of the window and make a Roger sized hole in the window. Like all of that had to be done without the animation at first. So it's just an imaginary mystical.
They had to really
like Eddie Valiant had to watch his eyesight had to go up into the ceiling, down, watch stuff shake, go out the window. It's just you just have to appreciate the amount of work that took.
That's crazy.
I think this movie took like 3 or 4 years to.
I'm sure it did.
Yeah, it's.
Who's your favorite tune, Andre?
My favorite tune.
Do you have to save it for the after show?
Wait.
When I was 14, it was Jessica Rabbit.
Hey, hold on. So,
we can say it.
But I lost. Is he starting off with the favorite tune, or did you already say yours, Michelle?
I said hers.
Mine is Benny. He did a little sidebar on the animation, so we're back to who our favorite tune is. If you don't want to explain it until the after show, that's fine. Do you have a favorite tune?
But Andre was just about to say his.
Yeah. Right, well, I'm still thinking. If it's not Jessica Rabbit.
Well, I got this. Okay, you go.
Go ahead.
Honestly, and this is where Roger, he was awesome.
Roger,
I really liked Roger because he is such an idiot.
He is a freaking idiot.
Okay, there's a difference. Okay, for those of you who think he likes him, mm-hmm. he doesn't like idiotic people. You know, there's a difference. Okay, Roger can't help that he's an idiot.
He was drawn that way.
The scene where Doc Octavius comes and he's like banging on the on the bar.
He was doing too bad. Yes. He was doing a shave cut. Too bad.
Yeah, but before there's a scene where he's in the in the hideout and he's like he's trying so hard not to go out, but then he's such an idiot he ends up going out
and then when
Valiant is trying to give him his last drink so he can. You know, Papa was like, "No, I don't want this drink."
He's like, "Yes, you do."
"No, I don't." Take it. And then he starts getting angry, like, "No, I don't." And then he's like, "Yes, you do." Like,
he reversed psychology.
He's like, "Yes, I do." And he drinks it. Oh, he's such an idiot.
He literally reversed psychology with him. He was like, "You don't want it." He's like, "Yes, I do." Because, like, I also say, like, they're drawn that way, but their personalities are also drawn that way.
Oh yeah,
you know.
Yes. Oh yeah.
The personalities so I can appreciate that you like him, Luis.
They're drawn in.
What about did you think of yours, Andre?
Yeah, and it's Baby Herman.
Baby Herman
is so funny to me.
He's so funny.
Just an adult an adult man who lives on a baby's body
is awful.
He's my least favorite.
It's terrible, but it's also so funny. Like, because they have the whole opening scene, which is all animated.
Mm-hmm.
And it's very fun. It's straight up like a Tom and Jerry sketch. And then as soon as they roll cut, Baby Herman just goes off. He's like, "Oh my God, Roger, get your lines right. What's wrong with you?"
His voice. Ugh.
And he's always smoking a stogie.
Ridiculous.
When he drops his stogie when he was in the baby carriage, he starts crying. And it's
like
so,
a baby.
My stogie.
Andre, are you sure you weren't in this movie? That was great.
I'm pretty sure that you were Baby Herman.
He was Baby Herman.
I was Baby Herman. I was born in 91, but I still
managed. Who's yours then?
I would say, honestly, I really liked, for a cameo part, I liked Betty Boop.
Oh, yeah.
Because I thought she was so cute.
Mm-hmm.
Not so much that I actually don't know much about Miss Boop. Right. Or I've never
either.
Seen like the commercial. The commercials, excuse me. Like any sketches with her. Mm-hmm. But I thought that she was so cute how she interacted with Eddie Valiant.
Yes.
And how she was like, "I still got it, Eddie." And he's like, "Yeah, you do." It was just so cute. I really enjoyed that.
Did they used to date? What is happening?
I'm pretty sure they freaking dated.
They might have.
But you know who my favorite couple of tunes were the stupid, oh my God, the bullets
in
the gun.
Yes.
So Eddie Valiant pulls out a gun that he got from Yosemite Sam.
Yes.
No, was it Yosemite Sam?
It was Yosemite Sam.
He got a gun from Yosemite Sam. And so this gun is huge, like, and animated,
huge cartoon,
right?
Gun.
And he, like, opens it up, and the bullets are all, like, different types of warriors.
They're, like, sleeping.
And they're like, "Oh, Eddie Valiant, I haven't seen you in 5 years past the moon and a dog or something." And then they all jump in the gun.
Yes.
And he, like, shoots one off, and it's like a Native American with a tomahawk. tomahawk.
It's like,
tomahawk's
the like trying to get the glass that he threw his alcohol.
Oh my gosh.
That's when he quits drinking. Yeah.
See? That's he cut the habit. Yeah. But it's just I think funny. That the bullets are really funny because he shoots them off later and they're funny again.
Yes.
It's very funny.
Very unuseful. Way. Like not did not do what they were needed to do.
I liked that a lot. I also just liked the subtle things. Like I liked that in the bar, the penguins were the waiters on Mary Poppins. And I actually really, really loved the scene between Donald Duck and Daffy Duck when they're playing the pianos. Because I remember watching my mom, shout out to my mom. My mom absolutely loves Donald Duck.
Yes, her name is Mom.
Brenda Hurst.
Thank you.
She loves Donald Duck. He's her favorite, but she hates when he's mad. And I love when he's mad.
He's hilarious.
I love when he's mad. And all of those old cartoons growing
up, always mad.
He's so mad. And I was like, oh, he's going to get mad. He's going to get mad. And he did. And I loved it.
Well, you know, Donald Duck is awesome when you get mad.
He's hilarious. Yes. Well, and I think one of the best parts of that kind of segues into the next thing I kind of wanted to talk about is that they are considered main characters in the Disney property, right? Mm-hmm. So, in their respective properties.
For sure.
But Donald Duck is a main character, and so is, Daffy. And so when this whole movie was coming into fruition, Warner Brothers, knowing that Disney was going to be a part of it, kind of, I'm not going to say they threw a fit, but they were like, we need the same amount of screen time as Disney characters because this is a joint movie, right? And I actually appreciate that because when you take a look at this movie and you really think about it in this way, anytime there's main characters on the screen, like Donald and Daffy, or later on there's Mickey and Buzz.
Mickey and Buzz.
Bugs, not funny. Buzz. When you see them both, they're always together and they're on screen for the same amount of frames.
The exact same
and
amount
same
of time.
Also as the scene where Goofy, like, you know how Roger Rabbit respects Goofy so much. They all do. They're like, Goof is the best.
Yes.
He's a great actor. He's a classic. But Roger and Goofy are on the same amount of time during that scene too.
So I think that's really cool because they paid so much attention to that, probably for royalties and rights and all of that type of stuff. But at the same time, it showed you kind of the juxtaposition of characters, but also how, you know, it's so that's the one time that you want to see like Donald Duck and Daffy Duck battling it out.
Right.
It's hilarious.
It's a crossover.
That was
it's the crossover you always wish that they would actually make.
My favorite crossover scene was that one with the piano battle. Because to me, a piano just seems like a classic cartoon thing to me in general. Like the piano as an object itself, it's being dropped from the sky. Mm-hmm. It's always hanging from buildings.
It's killing people's brothers.
Something's always happening with a piano. And to me, that was the best crossover scene. I really appreciated that.
I absolutely loved when Davy's like, this is the last time I work with someone with a speech impediment. Like,
oh my God. Speech impediment.
And then Marvin Acme starts laughing and he's like, I love those ducks. They never get to finish their set.
Puts a literal meaning to dueling pianos.
Yes. Oh. Literal meaning.
I love me some real dueling pianos, but this is on another level.
So funny.
One of my favorite scenes is also in that, or one of my favorite parts is also in that scene. When Valiant asks for scotch on the rocks.
ice.
And the penguins bring him actual rocks.
Not ice. He even tells them he's on not actual rocks this time. And they did it anyway.
They brought him rocks.
No, I think he said, and I mean ice. I mean, and then ice. Here comes the rocks in the cup.
Brought rocks.
So funny.
And I think he drank it. Like, like scotch
he
with.
He did lick his fingers.
Like, come on. Come on, Valiant. If you're going to tell them actual ice. Just say
with ice. I want ice.
Scotch over ice, please.
Yeah.
Well, you can't even say that because they might bring like scotch and then another cup and then a cup of ice. See, you have to be real specific with these tunes.
Tunes.
So funny. I want to make a comparison. I was looking through Andre's notes and he said, I was thinking in my head, like, this must be the first movie, like technically it's not Disney, but Disney movie where it's like a crime comedy. And then I think about Zootopia, which is totally a crime comedy.
Oh,
there's
very
similar themes in the way that they write things.
Oh yeah.
But this one seems so much more comical to me, obviously.
Oh yeah.
But like that whole crime comedy, usually I'm not into crime stuff at all. Like, I don't like stuff. CSI. I don't like anything like that.
Because
but
you're ridiculous.
I know, whatever. But this to
and
me,
totally overdone.
Like, the crime aspect of it, like, that they're trying to find Roger Rabbit for murder.
Oh, yeah.
It's so funny.
Well, and the fact that, like, they literally are talking about murder and yes. who killed him. It's very yes. specific. It's
very,
not like they...
It's a very classic noir story.
It's a whodunit movie.
Oh, yeah. And they don't bounce around the fact that, like, someone died. Mm-hmm. You literally see people get shot. Yes. You
the
see people getting tortured.
Of acne on the ground.
Like, oh, yeah.
There's the scene where, like, Valiant goes to visit Maroon and he pretends to have the will and then Maroon is in there, he's all cagey, he's got his gun out and stuff like that, and then he starts like confessing that it wasn't really him or whatever, and then he gets shot in the back with that big old long
shot.
Gun.
Straight up shot.
Shot in the back.
That wasn't dead. Subtle at all. I was like, he did.
Andre, speaking of noir, did you ever play that L.A. Noir game?
Yes, the game where, like, you have to be a detective and
yeah, you
have
to,
like,
solve
you have
a
to,
murder.
Like, judge people's faces and stuff in a video game, which is to see if they're lying and stuff like that. It's really crappy CGI.
Yeah.
You know, it's pretty much Roger Rabbit. What it
Can
is.
Can you imagine trying to look at facial expressions on a tune?
Like, right, yeah.
Like, did what? You kill him? Hey! I don't know. I don't know.
I was just drawn that way.
I know. I was drawn with a, like... I don't know. I look guilty all the time.
Right. I just got angry eyebrows.
I think if there was a song that was I was drawn that way, Lady Gaga would rock it.
I was drawn that way.
What song?
I'm beautiful in my way because I was drawn this way. Whatever.
How does the song go? The one that they're singing in Toontown.
Smile, darn, yeah, smile.
That makes me want to throw up.
He was singing the whole
thing. It's so awful.
It is awful.
About a great world after all.
Do you want to know another awful thing? Doom. Doom is awful. Okay.
You just said Judge that you could, like...
Doom. Okay, well, now he's awful.
Sympathize with him or something.
You know, I'm a psychology major. I always give the villains the benefit of the doubt. I try to relate to them. But you want to know why he's awful? Because
those creepy
I couldn't
eyes?
Figure out if he was a toon inside a human costume.
Oh, I have
or what?
Right.
What is he?
I'm not sure what his...
Disgust.
Disgust.
While I fill up my mimosa.
Oh, okay.
Oh,
I'm
no.
not sure what his... deal was, like, he, well, obviously he,
the eyeballs pop out,
yes, his eyeballs pop out, but are, is there another face underneath his human face, and how did he get his human face in the first place if he's
I hope
tuned?
I'm going to say that I hope that there is a face under that face because it is so literally
unnerving.
It's so unnerving when they when he gets squished.
It has to be the creepiest thing I've ever
actually,
seen.
Actually, that whole sequence is disgusting. I remember the first time I watched it, and he's getting run over, and I thought to myself, like, is this going to be
and
like a
like,
Kill Bill, like where blood goes yeah. everywhere? So you see him getting, like, run over, and his body's shaking, which is scary. And he's like,
yes.
Right? And then you see him flattening out, and then his body curls up like an uncrinkled piece of paper, and it's
and he's
rolling.
Just like Flat Stanley up in there. Oh. Yeah. You ever read those children's books? Flat Stanley.
Then he stands up and walks over to the helium tank, fills himself up, and he pops back into position.
Turns around, and his eyes are just blazing red.
Which is very creepy for a human body to be able to do.
I know.
It's
you
disgusting.
Know what? I'm going to answer my own question. When he melted, when he got dipped, yeah. remember all the toons came and they were staring at it on the floor? They were like, ugh. It had the human face mask. Like the mask
right,
was
the
on
mask
the floor.
Right.
That
there
didn't melt.
Because it
so
wasn't
I'm
going to
say
cartoon.
He was a toon in
inside
a,
of
a
human body.
Uniform.
Right.
Because for some reason he had a problem with toons and wanted
yeah, you
to
know how
dip
we needed backstory on Dr. Facilier? I need some backstory on Doom. I don't understand what his deal is. Was he drawn that way?
Well, yeah, I assume he was drawn evil, but his whole thing was that he was...
he wanted to monopolize on this freaking freeway.
Yes, he wanted the money from starting a freeway and destroying Toontown to do it, because I guess he didn't care about any of the other toons.
So,
that's so awful.
the
you
whole
know, as
freeway
Valiant
idea
says,
is hilarious to me.
Who needs a car in L.A.? We got the best public transportation
we got
system
the best
in the world.
Public transportation system in the world.
Which was so cute. Who needs a car in L.A.? And I'm thinking
everyone.
There's so many cars.
Hilarious. Like that joke
there.
Will always hold up. I'm pretty sure.
Oh, yeah. And Michelle, tell us about that red car trolley.
Okay, yeah. So the red car trolley is the trolleys they're driving. That's their public transportation mm-hmm. system. If you have frequented California Adventure, you can ride the red car trolley. And it is the same trolley from this movie. Mm. Because this trolley was going down Buena Vista Street in the movie, and you ride the red car trolley in California Adventure down Buena Vista Street. Boom.
I have another fun fact about the car trolley.
I looked it up and that was right. That was another one. You know how,
I looked it up and it was right.
I guessed it myself. I was like, that looks like the trolley. And then I had to Google it right away and I was right.
So the whole Toombs plan to dismantle the red car trolley was based on like a real thing. Like private corporations, they wanted to eliminate the public transportation system in LA in the 40s to generate demand for more cars and more freeways and all the other industries to keep cars running. And they succeeded.
Yep. They succeeded hardcore, right?
Very hardcore. Goodness gracious. Yeah. So,
you know what I think it's time for?
What is it time for?
I can't do the song very well.
Oh, is this Lou? Oh, we're going into Rocky?
Louise's battle.
Battle.
Of history.
All righty then, ladies and gents, for this week's battle. In the red corner, you have the weasels from Roger Rabbit. In the blue corner, you have their cousins, the hyenas from The Lion King. Now, who was a better set of henchmen?
So
ready? Let's get ready to rumble.
Oh, my God. This is so funny because in the movie, Doom was like, remember what happened to your cousins, the hyenas, when they were laughing? Because apparently if you're drawn to laugh like that, you can laugh yourself
just
to death.
Laugh yourself to death.
So they actually are cousins.
Honestly, I think we need to start with picking these characters apart because here is the deal with the weasels.
There's five weasels or six?
There's five weasels.
Yes, five.
Each of them has a very specific personality.
One wears a straight jacket.
One is crazy.
His name is Psycho.
His name is Psycho. One literally has a name that I can't say on the podcast.
Right.
His name is Smart Butt. he's wearing like... Is he the green zoot suit?
I think he's the...
Or the pink zoot suit.
I think he's the pink zoot suit.
There's a pink zoot suit. There's a green zoot suit.
I think his name is Greasy.
Greasy. Which... I don't want to get into the interpretations of that. There's a guy with like a baseball bat who really looks like Briar Bear.
I believe his name is just Stupid.
Stupid. And the last one, Andre Cher.
Was there five? I don't know
was
what
that
the
five?
Last one is. I can't find it.
Well, point being, originally there was supposed to be seven weasels.
Right.
And they were going to like mirror the seven dwarves.
But apparently,
it wasn't Disney. Apparently... It just took so much time to animate.
It would have been too much.
They literally were like, we don't have time to add two more weasels.
Okay. That would have been funny, though.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
But they have the five, and they're all pretty stupid. But they're good henchmen in their role. Like, they do what they're supposed to do.
Yeah.
Yeah, they do. They get the job done.
They get stuff done for the most part, right? I like that they carry real guns.
That's what I was going to say.
They're not toon guns. They have real live-action guns.
See, and I think that answers your question from earlier about like do toon objects kill like well actually no it doesn't because
doesn't.
I was gonna say like
they still have to use a human object
right
maybe because they were just given it by Doom.
Yeah, Doom's like here take a gun
yeah, take yeah. Guns. The hyenas from The Lion King, how good of henchmen are they? They started the wildebeest
they killed Mufasa
technically. Yeah. They got that done. They didn't kill Simba like they were supposed to. And then,
because Ed is stupid. Well, but they're stupid weasels too. So
pretty apparently yeah. Runs in that family.
Right.
Yeah. The bloodline of cousinry. I don't know.
The bloodline of cousinry.
I appreciate that.
Equally stupid, but who are the better henchmen? I'm going to go with
I'm surrounded by idiots.
I'm gonna go with the hyenas because they didn't laugh themselves to death. They're still living. The other
that
ones
was,
managed to get themselves
killed. That
was
probably the
killed.
Most incompetent thing that they could do was just laugh themselves to death in the middle of a job. Like, what are you guys doing?
You're not even going to get paid for this if you're dead.
So therefore, I'm going with the hyenas just because they're the only ones still alive.
That's great. I love
it. Actually, the hyenas end up turning on Scar at the end of The Lion King.
Hey.
Hmm.
So they don't actually whatever.
They're still kicking.
In the line of being alive, they win.
Yeah. They win. Yeah. Well, I think I'm going to pick the weasels because they die in the line of duty. You know,
they're
doing their jobs, and
they were loyal till the end.
They're loyal to the very end. Whereas the hyenas, you know, they turned on Scar. They weren't great henchmen.
That's so funny. This is a great battle. Okay, what are your thoughts, Emily?
I have no idea.
She's dying laughing. Maybe that's where that saying came from. I'm dying of laughter.
Yeah, seriously. I think I'm a weasel right now because dying in the line of duty is.
Bloodline like cousinry.
They're like the henchmen marines. I don't know. Oh my gosh. Okay. I also would say probably the weasels, only because they fit that henchman
mentality.
They are henchy.
True.
And sometimes, and I mean this in the nicest way, but sometimes henchmen are like they're the stupid cousins, you know, like they don't know how to do things on their own, and I feel like the weasels don't.
Right.
they just do whatever Doom says.
They need
says.
That direction from Doom.
So I appreciate that. I really like the
it's very
weasels.
Henchy.
The henchies.
What about you, Lou? Hyenas or weasels?
I just can't get over it. I'm still
laughing.
I will
go with the weasels because they were pretty... They did their job very well, if you ask me.
Yeah.
The main one, man, I would not want to mess with that guy. You know?
Smart book.
Creepy. Yeah.
They were creepy, but you know what? They got the
You're
job.
You
didn't
tell
done.
Me the one in the straight jacket that was holding a straight razor wasn't scary.
No, he was just crazy.
Luis legitimately did the when he saw that on screen. He's trying to act like a macho man right now.
I don't remember that.
he blocked it out.
No. It was so scary he blocked it out.
You know, want to know when I when Doom melted like the Wicked Witch of the West. That's what I was thinking the whole time. I literally was like,
yeah, he was.
I know.
He was
I said it out loud, and then he said so it, and I was like, "That's right."
I said that out loud too. Yeah. All right, so our weasels are our winner. This
our
week.
Weasels are our winners.
Weasels are our winners.
Weasels are the winners.
Do you want some other good trivia from this movie? I'm sure yes. Andre has a whole bunch.
I have a couple as well. Yes.
So apparently, this movie actually is based on a book, which I really
oh,
appreciate.
Yes, that's right.
This movie what? Is based on a 1981 novel called Who Censored Roger Rabbit.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to have to read this.
Yes. And I don't think, I mean, there's similarities, but it's not as
funny.
Fun as it is, the movie is.
The book is more based on like comic strips, cartoons yes. kind of things. And so like all the tunes in the book, they have... talking bubbles that go above their heads
yes.
and stuff like that, and that's how they speak.
So it's like they're less realistic, like they're not in the real world like right. like our tunes are.
Yeah.
Another interesting thing, so Who Censored Roger Rabbit, the book has a question mark in the title, right? Mm-hmm. Who Censored Roger Rabbit? This movie, Who Framed Roger Rabbit, is a question, right? But there's no question mark in the title.
No.
And apparently that's like a thing in the...
In movies,
in
I
the
guess.
Biz, it's like bad luck to put a question mark in
your title.
Oh, I never knew that.
So whenever you see it, it's always just Who Framed Roger Rabbit as a statement versus a question.
Yeah.
Who knew?
Who framed him?
Another thing. Does everyone know who Tim Curry is?
Yes.
Okay, I know Andre does, but
Jeff
I feel like
Curry with a shower.
So this is Tim Curry.
Okay,
Tim
gotcha.
Curry, he's the dad in the Wild Thornberries.
oh,
but
my
not
God.
The nose. He's not the nose. Well, I mean, I guess he is playing the nose.
Yes.
But I always think of him as being the main pirate, like the live action pirate in the Muppets Treasure Island
yes.
which was one of my favorite movies growing mm-hmm. up. Anywho, apparently Tim Curry auditioned for the role of Judge Doom, but he literally was told no because he was too scary.
Too terrifying.
They were like,
too terrifying?
He was way too terrifying and it freaked people out. So they were like, no, not
Tim
you.
But
dude.
Judge Doom is already super terrifying. How didn't you get more?
Do you want to know why he's terrifying?
Why?
It's because he doesn't blink.
He literally, in every shot that he's in, Christopher Lloyd, who plays Judge Doom, he made it a point to not blink because his human eyes are technically fake, right?
What?
So so he goes around just not blinking underneath those big old glasses things that he wears.
O-M-G.
Yeah.
Right?
He's a scary man.
Does now that... I understand it. You need to blink, people. It's creepy if you don't.
Hey, people
please
out there,
blink.
Public service announcement, please blink.
So I thought that those were some fun ones because
that's very cool.
It's like you knew it was creepy, but you didn't know why it was creepy.
Now I know why. I appreciate that. Andre, you got some fun facts
yes,
for us?
So there is a... Hang on, let me just find it real quick.
Oh, I have another one. Sorry.
There is a... Oh, go ahead while I look for this.
One of this... one of the... When you're going into the Ink and Paint Club, when mm-hmm. Eddie Valiant's walking in, he goes up to the door and he has to say a password. Do you remember what the password was?
Walt Disney sent me.
It was
Walt sent me, yes.
It was Walt sent me. And they say, right, the internet peoples say that is obviously supposed to be an homage to Disney sent me,
yeah.
So you can be let in.
Right.
Which I thought that was really cute because...
I actually really liked that too.
Because they don't... ever say like Walt Disney in it, even though they talk about Marvin Acme. I doubt that the guy's name is Marvin Acme, who does Warner Brothers, but it was like he was the main man for the tune, so it was cool that they brought in Walt's name as well.
Yes, I did like that.
Okay, I found my fact. I have a couple of Mickey facts. So there's a hidden Mickey in this movie.
Mickey, what?
When Eddie Valiant is starting to become funny at the very end, and he's trying to distract Doom, stuff like that. He starts to juggle those three bombs.
The best part.
And
when he's
just holding those bombs, they're very Mickey shaped. Hidden Mickey. Another Mickey fact. Okay, so when panning over the newspaper articles on Eddie's desk, there's a whole montage that kind of shows his entire life.
Oh my gosh! Yes, I read these
past cases. He and his one of the headlines on those newspapers says Mayor Mouse awards something something to Toontown. So I think Mickey Mouse is the mayor of Toontown.
That makes sense. It's Mickey's Toontown.
Yes. Which he is mayor of Mickey's Toontown in his own Toontown.
So Mickey's the mayor.
Wasn't another one of the headlines like Goofy not... Like, he was in a scandal.
Yeah, it was like Goofy found not guilty for whatever.
Yeah.
And also Valiant found missing trio of kids, Huey, Dewey, and Louie.
Oh, my God. They went missing.
Also, one of the pictures of Valiant in his office was, like, him and his brother with a clown. And it said, on tour with Dad at Barnum and Bailey Circus.
Yeah. Yes.
So I guess his dad was a clown.
His dad was a clown. And they were kids. So they went on... They went on tour with him. Then they like went into like the police academy.
Yeah, they both had like those rubber noses.
Yeah, and then they were like kicked them out. Obviously, they became PIs.
Hilarious.
But you know what's really interesting, because I think this movie was supposed to have been set in 1947, but so many of the things that are in the movie were actually created after 47.
Yes.
So a lot of people are like, well, it's not that accurate. But I think it's really cool because it's already like you have to suspend your disbelief so hard to watch this movie that it's almost... Like the audience has wanted to see all their favorite characters in it.
Yeah. Right.
And really the only characters like on the Warner Brothers side that we didn't see are like Tom and Jerry and Popeye.
True.
But so many of the other ones were there.
So many. Like at the end when
they all run in.
Is it Porky Pig at the end?
Yes.
And Tinkerbell kind of
do the send-off.
That's
right. They do the send-off.
I like that.
Well, and that was cute too, because did you hear him say like, oh, that sounds good.
That's good. I'm going to use that.
And then he like quote unquote is supposed to use it in the future for his own cartoons.
I really liked that a lot.
That's really
cute. That was a very good one.
Good stuff.
One of the last things I kind of wanted to talk about, I know obviously we're not going to talk about Jessica Rabbit that much till the after show.
But she was fun.
I want to talk about the fact that the relationship between Jessica Rabbit and Roger Rabbit has to be one of the cutest things I've ever seen. Like, she really loves him.
It's adorable.
At the end when she's like, my hero! And she's like so worried about him. I just gotta find my honey bunny. Like, their relationship is so cute.
It's very interesting because in the beginning of the movie, they literally set it up as like, oh, well, Jessica's like cheating on Roger, playing patty cake.
Literal patty cake
with this guy. And so he's heartbroken about it. And the whole time you're like, okay, well, I don't understand how Jessica could be with Roger in the first place.
Yeah, no.
But then at the end, when they're actually together and you see them, and she's just like, he makes me laugh. What am I going to say?
Hey, babe, you make me laugh.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
So, Andre, that means you want to know who you are.
Oh, I'm Jessica Rabbit? Oh, yeah.
You're welcome.
I'm a little too short for that, but
hey, you can pull off the other
my own thing.
Things.
Well,
yeah, I I thought that their relationship was so cute.
It was very cute.
I like actually really liked
and that she was not bad in the least.
No.
Like
no.
There was nothing.
Well, she's not a bad person.
No. She really
got set up.
She was doing what she felt like she had to do to keep Roger's career afloat. Yeah. And then she got caught up. So
yeah, that line that she says that I'm not bad, I'm just drawn that way. That's from the book.
And that's hilarious. Straight up like the greatest description of Jessica Rabbit. It's true. She's not bad. She's just drawn that way. Poor thing. It's not her fault. It's discrimination. So funny. I love that.
All right. Is it time for some ratings?
I think so.
Okay. Ratings. Oh, so this movie did extremely well. It had the highest budget for any movie in 1988. It cost $70 million to make.
Whoa. And then I don't doubt it. And I do not doubt it.
It also did the best in 1988. I think it made like $150 million dollars, something like that.
Wow.
Did it win any awards? I don't have that information
directly
available to me at this point in time.
It
won three Oscars.
Three Oscars.
Yes. So it won for best film editing, best effects. With sound editing and best effects for visual effects. Which
good. Well, there you go. I mean, those are some good.
And the head animator Richard Williams, he won a special achievement award.
Nice. What was its score on Rotten Tomatoes?
This got a 97% on Rotten Tomatoes.
Dang!
Yeah, people loved this movie.
That's fantastic. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
It's totally an 80s movie to me, too. Like, granted, yes, it's set in 47, but it's an 80s movie.
Nah, it's pretty 80s. It's pretty 80s. And I think that's what I was saying earlier, how it's supposed to be in the 40s, but it's so reminiscent of the time period.
It's an 80s movie. Right. And yes. I love 80s movies, so,
yeah.
You know.
And it's hilarious. Yeah, cool. I love this movie. I'm going to give it a 9.0. I don't know why I said 9.0. I'm giving it a 9.
I was waiting for like the 9. Point 0. Something.
I'm giving it a 9. It's hilarious. It's probably one of the funniest Disney movies that we've watched. And I love Roger. He's very inspiring to me as a comedian.
I actually like that. Can you like please put that in your set?
Yes,
tonight?
I'll put that in something. And then I like Eddie's whole arc through the movie where he's a curmudgeon in the beginning. He's broke.
Eddie Valiant.
He can't keep up his relationship with Dolores.
Dolores! I love her.
By the end, he's being funny again, and he loves all the tunes, and he and Dolores are going to go to the beach again. And it's great.
That's one of my favorite scenes is the end when he starts singing in the factory. That's probably... It's so funny.
Yes.
And he's actually pretty like agile. Right. Yeah. Sing, hey. I was like, what?
It was actually very comical.
He did a very good job.
Yeah, yes. He did do a good job.
Bob Hoskins.
What about you,
Haskins.
Lou?
I will give it a
8.5.
It was a good movie. Mm-hmm. It was a very good movie. Roger, as much of an idiot as he was, really made me laugh. He literally was like, an idiot.
Luis, his only dream in life was to make you laugh, and he did it. That was his whole passion. Laughter. I'm going to give this movie also an 8.5. It's a very good movie. I enjoyed it. I would watch it again. My only disconnect was I don't know anything about Looney Tunes and Warner Brothers things. And the whole intro scene, I absolutely despised. Like, as soon as we started it, I was like, I'm done. I don't want to watch this movie at all anymore. So that's like a very big disconnect for me. I just am not into those kind of cartoons. But do I appreciate it for what it's worth now? Yes. 8.5, good movie. Would I watch it again? Yes. Emily.
I'm going to give it a 9 because I watched it twice in 1 week. Yeah. And it was just as funny the second time as it was the first time.
So comical.
I can say I freaking love this movie.
Yeah.
It hits on so many... It hits on so many levels. It's funny. There's great character development. The plot is actually pretty good. I mean, Doom is obviously a bad dude, but like, did you think that he was the one going around killing like the animators and stuff? Not really.
No.
You know? And you want to know more about these characters. Like, mm-hmm. I really want to know why, you know, Valiant is so curmudgeon-y, and I want to know, like, is he gonna end up with Dolores, and and how is this all gonna work out, you know? So I think if you can like catch me on all of those angles at once, like that shows the quality of this movie.
Then you win.
This was a good movie.
Straight up. Yes.
Good pick, Andre.
Who Framed Roger Rabbit? Yes, I'm glad that there was some Disney characters.
So this movie is not. Oh, this movie's not in Luis's top five though.
Not
hey,
top
which
five.
One did you boot, by the way?
Oh, let's talk about that really quickly. So, he said, you guys talk about it. So, thank you so much for Rochelle, who went and found all of Luis's top five Disney movies so that we could go through and, well, pretty much so he could kick one out because he wants to put...
Give one the eject.
Give one the ejection seat because he wants to be able to put in... Which movie?
What did we watch last week?
Ratatouille.
Oh, I was going to say, Peter Pan! he wants to put Ratatouille in his top five. So because she was the first person to comment on our Instagram post correctly, she gets an actually really fun prize that I want to keep for myself.
That's yay, Rochelle. Right. Way to go. Luis, do you know what movie you're going to like kick the curb?
Yeah.
So tell us the top five.
This is a pretty easy one.
So tell us what the top five were.
Moana, Pocahontas, Wreck-It Ralph, The Princess and the Frog, and The Good Dinosaur.
Mm-hmm. Ooh, which one are you going to give the boots?
Oh, that's an easy
one.
Here we
go.
And how's it easy if it's in your top five?
Oh, well, because I just looked at the top five and thought about the one I liked the least.
All
right. Moana bottom five. Is out.
What?
Yes, Moana is out.
I don't agree with that at all. You need to kick the good dinosaur out.
It's not your top five.
That's why it's mine.
It's Luis's top five.
Would you want to know what the funniest part is? I'm going to throw him under the bus. I'm pretty sure when we had this conversation a couple days ago, he's like, Wreck-It Ralph's out.
Well, again, I forgot I had Moana.
This just goes to show, though, that it's so hard to necessarily pick a top five Disney 100%. Movie because nobody does it like Disney does.
Oh,
like,
no.
Right.
That's why we're here.
Well, right? And I think we talked about how like they keep one-upping themselves, and mm-hmm. you can love something, and then the next movie that comes out, you're like, wow, it's not so much that you're always saying like it's better, but they never really do they flop. So right. It's not like, wow, that's definitely my low five. Yeah.
Definitely. So shout out to Rochelle. Thanks for listening to us. You're going to have a very nice prize coming your way. Mm-hmm. I want to give another shout out to a listener who reached out to me. Her name is Stephanie Osario. She also grew up in Ceres, which is the town we grew up in. And apparently we went to the same gymnastic studio when we were kids.
Yeah.
So there you go. It's a small world after all.
It's a pretty small world. Cause
it's a small world.
She went to high school with me and Emily.
She now knows three out of the four.
You just need to meet Luis and then we can all be a happy family. Yes. There you go.
That'd be easy if I wasn't an enigma.
Oh,
jeez.
He's a mystery man.
Yeah.
Okay, well, apparently you don't get to meet him.
Man, a few words.
I just feel like this podcast has really brought a lot of people together so far. It's brought all of us four together every week. Not like we wouldn't have seen each other anyway, but, you know. So we're happy you guys are enjoying it as much as we do. And we have a Patreon supporter.
We appreciate you all. And we appreciate those of you who have contributed to us on Patreon, which you can do Woo-hoo! By going to patreon.com/thewaldvault. And for as little as $1 a month, you can be a patron and get access to our after show called The Crack in the Vault.
You're going to want to hear it. Trust me. We're getting ready to film this right now.
This is the show where we're gonna talk a little bit.
Record it.
A little bit more adulty about all these Disney movies. And we're going to start with Who Framed Roger Rabbit. And, you know, if we get enough patron subscribers, maybe we'll go back and do some of the older movies that we've done before and some other stuff.
But, you know, it's really fun to be starting with this one because, like we talked about, this movie has so many adult themes and so many, like, little tidbits where you're like, ooh, that was a little raunchy, or, oh, my gosh, that was, you know, like, cheeky.
Yeah,
so it's cheeky. Funny to kind of point those out where when you were a kid, totally went over your head. Now as an adult, I'm like, I can't believe they put that in the movie.
Right. Lots of things went over our head as kids.
Oh,
sure.
Yeah. So this is a great movie to start off that, you know, super exclusive, ridiculous.
Yes.
We're super crack excited. In the vault. Super excited about it.
The exclusive Crack in the Vault podcast. So go to patreon.com/thewaldvault, become a patron. If you subscribe with $5 or more, we'll even send you a little gift in the mail. You
get gifties.
Mm-hmm, you get gifts. So come on, support us because, you know, we need to keep the lights on in this place. The Walt Vault, it's dark in here.
There's literally no lights on right now.
There really isn't any lights on in this house right now. That's fine.
Please help us out. You guys,
can I get a drum roll so we can announce next week's movie?
Oh, yeah.
I'm still laughing because there's literally no lights on in here.
No lights. Next week's movie is... The Goofy Movie.
The Goofy Movie.
Not the extremely goofy movie.
No.
The Goofy Movie.
The first one. Yeah.
Can you sing the song, please?
About Goofy.
Come on.
How does it go?
Stand out.
Above the crowd, even if it gotta shout out loud. Tonight is the only place to see. You're gonna stand out. Guys, next week for a lot more singing like that, because I freaking love the Goofy Movie.
My favorite part of this whole thing is right before, like probably 2 months before we started actually recording the Walt Vault, Andre said something about wanting to watch the Goofy Movie, and we were all on board. So we literally rented the Goofy Movie and then the Extremely Goofy Movie right after.
We watched it the same night.
We watched it all at the same time. We were singing. We were reminiscing. It was so funny.
And
so
now we get to do it again.
So now we get to go through and watch
Andre's
it again.
Birthday.
Yes. Woo! Happy birthday to me.
Happy birthday,
yes,
Andre.
Come check us out next week. We're going to watch the Goofy Movie. Be sure to follow us on all of our social media platforms. Instagram is the hot one. We are at the Walt Vault Pod. Find us there. Vote on all the stuff. Comment on the episodes. Comment on all of our posts. You can also follow us on Twitter on at the Walt Vault Pod, or like us on Facebook at the Walt Vault Pod. And you can send us a message on any of these social media platforms, and we'll check it out and possibly read it on the show. You can also send us an email at contact@thewaltvaultpod.com. I mentioned before, you can also follow us on Patreon, patreon.com/thewaltvault. Give us a dollar. We'll love you for it forever. We also want you to subscribe. If you're not subscribed, go to iTunes and subscribe. We're also available on YouTube, Stitcher, Google Play. And we want you to leave us reviews, please, because that helps people find the show and help us love everyone a little bit more. You guys, that's it for now. The vault is now closed. Bye.